Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. This is the theme of our praise service tonight, and the choirs will be taking part, and the children, and we trust that it will be a rich blessing as we minister in song. We want to make it clear that we are not engaged in a performance. That is not what this is all about. It is about a service and a ministry unto Christ, that your own soul would be edified and blessed, and you would be encouraged in your own heart. So may the Lord draw near to us and help us as we come to praise Him tonight.
But tonight the theme is on the prayer and the hymn of Mary that you find in Luke chapter 1. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. He hath opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever.
Thank you.
Lord gives mercy to them that fear him. The Lord is merciful and gracious, is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Lord has done great things. Holy is his name. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation.
Thank you.
The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. But great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honour of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, is slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee.
Oh,
The choir's theme tonight has been more or less centered on Mary's hymn of praise before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That hymn is known as the Magnificat, which is just a Latin word for to magnify. Mary's heart was so full at that time when Gabriel came that she wanted to magnify and praise the name of the Lord. And then the psalmist in Psalm 34, he also says and calls upon us, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Now that raises a very interesting question, because how can we magnify the Lord? Because the Bible tells us that the Lord is infinite. That means that he is without limit and without boundary. And the Lord is infinite in his being. So how can we magnify him? Now, sometimes I've spoken to the children in the school on this subject, and I always bring my magnifying glass with me, and I get it up and I look at it, and I tell them that the words in my Bible are now much bigger as I look through the magnifying glass. But when you peek in below, around the glass, you discover that the words are just the same size. The letters are still the same. They have never changed. But what has changed is our perception of them. We cannot magnify God in the sense of making him any bigger because he is totally infinite. But we can magnify our perception of him, and that's what happened to Mary, because suddenly the Lord became greater to her eyes than ever before. Also leads to another question, and that question is, why was Mary so happy to magnify the Lord at that time? And the answer to that question contains a message for all of us, and especially any who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. First of all, Mary was happy because she was chosen by God. Now, what a great day and moment that must have been in time, where it tells us in the first part of the Gospel of Luke that the angel Gabriel came to her with the message. Now, out of all the provinces of Israel, Galilee was chosen. Out of all the cities of Israel, Nazareth was chosen. Out of all the families in Nazareth, her family was chosen, and out of her family, she was chosen for this important task. Little wonder Mary's heart was bursting as she wanted to praise and magnify the Lord, because what seemed unbelievable to her was something that she believed. She believed God, not like Sarah, who laughed when the Lord brought her a similar message, and not like Elizabeth's husband Zacharias, who doubted. But Mary, she believed in the message, and she rejoiced in that angelic message. So she was chosen especially by God. But every believer also has cause to magnify the name of the Lord today, because we have been chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Ephesians 1 and 4 tells us, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so today, before this world ever came into being, before you and I were ever born, we were chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that should cause us to want to magnify and to praise his name today. In the choice that God made of Mary, there was nothing in her to lead him to that choice. She was a young woman, and we're told by her own words that she was poor, both in possessions and in spirit, because she speaks of herself as being, verse 48, of low estate. So there was nothing in her that would recommend her to the choice that God was going to make. And what a parallel that is to all of us, because there's nothing in any one of us that would cause God to look upon us with mercy and to save us by his grace. God is no respecter of persons. And the Bible tells us that not many mighty, not many great men are called, but God has chosen the foolish, the weak, and the base, and the things that are nothing to confound the mighty. because there will be no pride in heaven. If we got to heaven and were boasting about our righteousness, well, the place would be not very pleasant. The Bible tells us it's not of works, lest any man should boast. There'll be no boasting in heaven. We're saved by the grace of God. Then Mary, she learned something. And I want you to notice in verse number 47 of Luke 1, it says, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now the choir were singing that final piece there, "Holy, holy, holy." And Mary in verse 49, "He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." So Mary came to realize that she was a sinner. When compared to the other women and girls and people of Nazareth, she was probably as good as they were. But when she came to realize and face with the impeccability of God, the fact that God was infinite in his holiness, she realized that she was a sinner. And this idea that Mary was immaculately conceived is not true. Mary was a sinner like the rest of us. And she says, "My spirit rejoiced in God my Savior." Now that was good news for her. You say, well, why is it good news to discover that she's a sinner? And the same with us. Why is it good news to discover that you are a sinner? It's good news in this sense. The diagnosis precedes healing. Back in the month of May, I was in a situation where I could have taken a heart attack. Again, in the month of September, I was down in Pittsburgh, and I was very, very close to a heart attack. As soon as I came home, I checked with the doctor. He checked and discovered that I had a serious problem with arteries that were blocked, and I had to have a surgery. But that was good news. The doctor tells me, "You're going to have a triple bypass." That didn't sound too good, but it was good news because it was going to fix the matter. And the first thing we need to know is that we're sinners in the sight of God. And once we realize that, then we can come to God for his healing and cleansing from our sin. You see, if you're swimming in the water and you're having a nice swim and you're not in any difficulty, you'll never cry for help. But you suddenly find that you're drowning, then you'll call with all the power that you have, like Peter of old in the Sea of Galilee, "Lord, save me." And so it's a blessed thing to discover in the light of God, and in the sight of God, that we are sinners, because that precedes the healing that can come from the Lord Jesus. Then something else about Mary that caused her to rejoice, and that is that Christ was formed in her. And that is the most amazing miracle of all time. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, God of very God. And yet God came down in flesh. And this time of the year, we think of the birth of the Lord Jesus as a babe in Bethlehem. But you go further back. Go back to the moment of conception. And you'll find that the salvation of the world was dependent on one cell. Anything weaker than one cell, or is anything stronger than that particular cell? Because the Bible tells us that in him, the Lord Jesus, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in that single cell, at the moment of conception, all the power of the Godhead was to be found. And then, of course, that cell divided and multiplied, and eventually Jesus came forth as a babe born in Bethlehem. Mary's hope of salvation lay right there in the fact that Jesus Christ was formed within her. And my friend, your hope and my hope of salvation rests on the very same thing. Not in the physical sense like Mary, but in the spiritual sense. Because Paul wrote to the Corinthians and the Colossian Christians, and he said to them, "Christ in you is the hope of glory." Christ in you. Christ, that's the essence of the gospel. In you, that's the experience of the gospel. The hope of glory, that's the expectation of the gospel. And so when you come to the Lord Jesus, He is actually within us, born within us through the new birth that is a miracle of the power and the might of our God. You ask, well, how could that be? Well, Mary tells us, because it was the work of the Holy Spirit. In the first chapter of this book here, Luke chapter 1, the angel said to Mary, she said, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so the birth of Christ was the result of the work of the Holy Spirit. And for you and I to be saved, it is just the same. Because we cannot lift ourselves to heaven by pulling on our shoelaces. We cannot lift ourselves to heaven by indulging in all kinds of good works. We can only be saved by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. And just as Mary was blessed by the operation of the Spirit in her womb, so we are blessed by the operation of the Holy Ghost in regenerating us and bringing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessed work of the blessed third person of the Trinity. One other thing, and that is that Mary, at the time she wrote the Magnificat or gave those words, she did not know that she was going to have to make some journeys. Bethlehem, that we sing about now, is not the end. Bethlehem is the beginning. Mary had to go to Jerusalem after Bethlehem, just 6 miles away. And when she was there in Jerusalem at the temple, along came an aged saint of God called Simeon. And Simeon said to Mary, in verse 34 of chapter 2, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And then these words, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So Mary, she went to Bethlehem, the 80 miles from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus Christ was born there from Bethlehem at 8 days, went to the temple in Jerusalem just 6 miles away. And then shortly afterwards, she and her husband had to escape to the land of Egypt to get away from Herod. And then when he was dead, they came from there up again to Jerusalem, where the Lord, remember, he held them back as he disputed and talked to the elders of the temple at that time. And then from there, back to Nazareth, their home. But Mary had still one journey to take. And that journey was to a place called Calvary. Mary was a mother, and like every mother, feels for her children. And Mary stood at Calvary. The Bible tells us that she was there with some other woman, and John, the apostle who leaned on the breast of the Lord Jesus, they were there. And as Mary was there, no doubt, the memories flooded in as she looked upon her son on the cross. She would think of how, as a little boy, she helped him, used her hands to guide him and so on, and how she'd love to reach out to the cross to do something to ease his pain and suffering. But she couldn't do it. She would look upon his brow that many a time she would caress as a child. But now, that brow is covered with a crown of thorns from which comes blood, and Mary was helpless to do anything about it. He was too high, and the soldiers were there to guard, and so Mary only could watch. And then she thought of the times that she'd take him by the hand as a boy in Nazareth, and he would walk along beside her, but now his hands and his feet are nailed to a cruel cross. And Mary gazes upon that sight, and the Bible tells us that she stood there. No words are recorded from her. There's no indication of the body language of Mary, but there she suffered in unbroken silence. She was there with the Lord Jesus at the beginning of his life, and she was there faithfully and loyal to him right to the very end, until John, her nephew, led her gently away to the awful sight of the cross, where her son would suffer and bleed and die alone. You see, Mary got to the cross. Where is Jesus today? He's in heaven. Where is Mary today? She's in heaven. Where are the believers who have died in the Lord Jesus Christ today? They are in heaven. And my friend, how are you going to get to heaven? You've got to be like Mary. You've got to come to the cross, because that's the road to heaven starts. Some people are going on vacation shortly, and they'll be going out to the airport to take a plane or whatever to go to some other part for a vacation. That's where the journey starts. You've got to go to it. And the journey to heaven starts at the cross. And as the hymn says, Lord, make Calvary real to me. Because the greatest journey of all time, the eternal journey, starts there at the cross. At this Christmas season, if you would bow before the holiness of the Lord and before the might of our God, and you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you would have the happiest Christmas season you could ever hope to have, because you'd have peace with God, that peace that passeth all human understanding, and you're able to say, it is well with my soul. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the praise that we have brought to Thee today. And we thank Thee, O God, that we have much to praise Thee for, because Thou art a great God and worthy of our praise. And the Lamb is the one who is worthy, who dwells in light unapproachable in the very presence of the angels of heaven. Our Father, we pray that Thou would bless Thy people. May we magnify Thy name, realizing we were chosen in Christ, realizing that we're sinners and could only be saved by His grace, realizing that Christ could be formed in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and realizing if we ever hope to get to heaven, we have to start that journey at the cross. Our Father, we pray that Thou would bless Thy people and fill their heart with joy this night. And for those who know not the Lord, O God, we pray that they'll no longer delay, but come while they may, and call upon Jesus while He may be found. Hear this our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, to conclude our praise service, the well-known carol number 88. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem.
Oh,
Father in heaven, we thank Thee tonight that we can truly say that Christ is the Lord. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And Father, we pray at this season of the year that Thou would help us to focus on Him, the reason for the season. And Father, we pray that Thou would bless us and fill our hearts with the joy of the Lord that is the strength of the believer. And should there be one here without Christ, O God, we pray, draw that soul inexorably by the power of the Holy Spirit to the cross, and grant, O God, Thou would save that one by Thy sovereign grace. Part us, Lord, now in Thy fear and with Thy blessing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.